Welcome to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel, and I'm joined by Eminence, Bill Werner, Brent Palm, Ashley Walker, and Mike Grimm. We're going to delve into what's happening in the North Star State. If it matters in Minnesota, we've got it covered. This week, the U of M is out with a new apple. The Hennepin Theater Trust wrapped up a successful season. The U of M announced their new color commentator for Golden Gopher men's basketball radio broadcasts. But first, the worst of the pandemic hopefully is behind us, and with it, special extra funding for some government programs is going away. Among the affected areas is medical assistance, Minnesota's version of Medicaid. State officials are again required to review who's on medical assistance and determine who is eligible and who is not. And that has prompted, as you might have guessed, the attention of scammers on the internet. Eminence Bill Werner is here to tell us more.
Tasha, state officials have started what will be about a year-long process of determining who is eligible for medical assistance. And some people have already been notified that they can no longer be on that program and will have to look elsewhere for their health insurance, either through state-subsidized Minnesota Care or on the private market. And it is that second option which has again brought scammers out of the woodwork. For more about that, we talked with Libby Collum, CEO of the state-run MinSure Health Insurance Marketplace. Collum says MinSure is sending direct notices to people no longer eligible for medical assistance with information about how to sign up for private market insurance through the state's MinSure exchange.
But if they were to go out just into, you know, onto the internet and do a search for health insurance, we're finding out that some folks are running into some of these bogus sites that are scamming them into buying products that either are subpar or sometimes don't even exist. So we are trying to make sure that folks know the best way to really shop for their health insurance without falling prey to those scams.
Are scammers actually representing themselves as MinSure and saying, hey, that you can get the products through us?
Yeah, so there have been some reports of some websites and, maybe other scammers pretending to be MinSure and then selling them a bogus insurance product. MinSure and the Minnesota Department of Commerce are both doing some public awareness around this issue. If you do think that you've fallen prey to one of these scams, you can contact MinSure or the Minnesota Department of Commerce and report it. So a big part of what we're doing is just getting the word out that really, if you're looking for health insurance right now, the absolute best way you can make sure that you're not going to fall for any of these scams is to go directly to MinSure.org. That's MNSURE.org. And you can type that straight into your browser. And if you're looking at it from a search engine, you want to just make sure you're clicking on MinSure.org and not any of these other websites that might be, saying that they're MinSure, but are actually not.
Be sure you got the real McCoy, as they used to say. Now, what are some red flags for folks?
Yes, you will know that you're not working with us if we're demanding your phone number or payment immediately to do an eligibility determination. So some of these scammers are saying, you have to put in your phone number into a website and then we'll call you with information about what you might qualify for through MinSure. That's not true. If you go to MinSure.org, you can use our anonymous cost estimate tool, but we don't ask for your phone number for us to provide you with that estimate. You just get it right there online. Another thing that's telling you're not working with us is if, someone calls and says that they are MinSure and they try to sell you health insurance right there over the phone or ask for your credit card information, social security number, or any of that other private information. MinSure would never do that. We don't cold call people trying to sell them health insurance.
Okay, so MinSure.org is the best, and if there's anybody who's coming at you outside of that, it's red flags, it sounds like.
Yeah, we would just make sure that if you're getting a call from someone who's saying that they'd like to sell you health insurance, it's likely, not somebody you want to be dealing with, and you can just go to MinSure.org, and you can actually work with you know, some of our certified brokers and navigators, but you can look up their information on our website. So we wouldn't be giving your phone number to anyone to call you. You'd be contacting those certified assisters to give you that assistance that you need to sign up for health insurance.
Now, as long as we are talking about health insurance, we're getting on, not quite there yet, right? But we're getting to the point of open enrollment, which is later on this fall. Tell us a little bit about what is the open enrollment period? What kind of information will be available shortly to Minnesotans to help make healthcare decisions on the open market?
Yeah, we are about 1 month, just over a month, out from our annual open enrollment period. And so that's the time of year when Minnesotans can sign up for health insurance through MinSure.org. That begins on November 1st. And as early as mid-October, Minnesotans can go to MinSure.org and start to shop and compare plans for 2024. So we are in the process of getting all of the plan information ready to go. By mid-October, consumers will be able to come to our website and do some of that pre-shopping to see if they're eligible for tax credits or if they see a plan that maybe works better for themselves and their families.
Would it be a good idea for folks to do this a little bit ahead of time so they're not on the crunch?
Yeah, we always encourage folks to sign up as early as possible after that November 1st start date hits.
Sure.
So open enrollment runs through January 15th. But if you sign up for insurance by December 15th, you will have coverage on January 1. So we always encourage people to sign up before that December 15th deadline to make sure they've got an entire full year of coverage.
Yeah, you never know what might happen in that window, right? If you're not covered for a month or whatever, that could break a person's finances if you're not insured.
Yeah, it's always best to be safe and make sure you're covered for that full 12 months calendar year. It's never good to gamble, especially in an icy Minnesota winter.
That's MinSure CEO Libby Collum. And remember, private market health insurance enrollment for 2024 through MinSure begins November 1st, so it's probably a good idea to start doing your homework now. Tasha?
MNN's Bill Werner and Libby Collum, CEO of MinSure. Time for a quick break. More Minnesota Matters after this.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed,
608 to 90104.
Could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzzed driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzzed driving, because buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel. The Hennepin Theater Trust just wrapped up a successful Broadway on Hennepin season. The new president talks with MNN's Brent Palm about the production that brought hundreds of thousands of theatergoers to downtown Minneapolis and his first 2 months on the job.
Hennepin Theater Trust President and CEO Todd Dusing, welcome back to Minnesota Matters.
Thank you so much for having me, Brent. I'm excited to talk to you again about the great things that are happening in the Hennepin Theater District.
Yeah, when we talked last, you were just about to officially take the reins as the new president and CEO of the Hennepin Theater Trust. It's been a couple months now. How have your first couple months in the Twin Cities been?
Oh, fantastic. I love the Twin Cities. I love Minnesota. Of course, you know, the people of Minnesota Nice is a real thing, and everyone has been incredibly welcoming. I've enjoyed going to a Lynx game, a Vikings game, a United game, getting the feel of the sports and some really, really great restaurants, but also starting to attend more events in the arts community as the city is coming back into the fall. just recently attending the opening of the Minnesota Orchestra with their new music director, Thomas Sondergaard. If you haven't purchased tickets yet, I'll tell everyone it's worth seeing. It is just an incredible show, and he is just so energetic and magnetic in his work.
Glad to hear that you're enjoying it. You folks just wrapped up the, I guess what you call the Broadway on Hennepin series. And according to a news release from the Hennepin Theater Trust, it was very successful. A lot of folks came down to the Hennepin Theater Trust to see these shows.
They sure did. So we did wrap up our 22-23 Bank of America Broadway on Hennepin season. We wrapped it up with Beetlejuice just a week ago and had a really successful year. We welcomed over 375,000 people that attended throughout the season, 20 weeks of the Broadway series. Sure, you know, one of those, you know, really leading weeks in general, multiple, was Hamilton. That was rescheduled from the previous year. And the economic impact from Hamilton alone was $41 million on the market because we had over 100,000 people attend that event overall. We also are really pleased to share that our total economic impact on downtown is estimated to be $115 million on the local economy, but that also includes the state as well. So we're really thrilled that the arts are a driving engine for economic impact and that Hennepin Theater Trust can be a part of contributing to our positive growth.
Yeah, I heard a lot of good things about a lot of shows. I know you guys had the Tina Turner musical, and it just so happened to be in the year that we lost her.
Yeah. Simply the best, isn't she? So that show is a wonderful show. It tells the story of the iconic, legendary rock artist. And yeah, sad to see that she passed away, but I think her legacy will continue to live on and live on through that show. It is an exciting, exhilarating, and fun show and a great tribute to her.
And I know Wicked, I believe, was at the Orpheum for like 5 weeks, and that one sells itself, right?
Truly defies gravity in all ways, shape, and form. So it's just a beautiful story, and it'll continue to run for many years. And it's a great affirmation story and confidence building. And so it's got really great messages. And we saw that a lot through a lot of our shows, real positive messaging and deep storytelling from Wicked to Jagged and Little Pill, and even different perspectives. When you look at Hamilton, you know, it's a different cast that looks different from our founding fathers, but tells the same story and gives you a different perspective. So I'm really pleased that our variety of shows in the Broadway series represents an opportunity to open eyes and minds and hearts, but also creates really great opportunities for families and individuals and friends and folks to enjoy live entertainment together. You know, coming out of the pandemic and the pressures of what we're facing in a new world, like it's nice to escape and go to the theater and just have a good time and enjoy a story and let your imagination and let someone tell you a story that really is engaging.
Hey, on the financial side of things, Todd, I know you folks recently finished $14 million in bond or officially took ownership of the theaters. Tell me about the financial news.
You know, I think that's a great question. I really appreciate you asking that because, you know, while we have a great Bank of America Broadway season, it looks like, you know, that we're doing well, making money, which we are. But we are a nonprofit organization, and our goal is to make money to support our mission-based programming, where, you know, we reach out to thousands of, you know, 8,000 students in the state through our Spotlight Education program at over 100 high schools in Minnesota. And other programming such as maintaining the building or work is maintaining the building and developing the Hennepin Theater District. So, you know, it's great that you give me this opportunity to share that. We are a nonprofit organization. And we did purchase the buildings because we want to make sure that they are in the guardianship of the arts organization. And that was redeeming the remaining $14 million in the city-backed bonds. But that is a debt service that we take on now, and we will pay off over time through the work that we do to engage folks and to use our revenues to create solvency and ownership of those buildings.
Well, it sounds like there's plenty of exciting things going on at the Hennepin Theater Trust. What a way to spend your first couple months leading it.
Oh, it's just been fantastic. And we are full steam ahead. We have a great team of people that work in our organization. Everyone is passionate about the arts. We're passionate about delivering the best of the arts for the community. And we have a strong vision in mind for the future of Hennepin Theater District and how we can make it a vibrant destination, folded into the community and more inclusive of all the members of our community and all arts organizations. And we're just getting started. There's more to come from us across the future months, and I hope we'll have the opportunity for me to tell you more of those things as they come to fruition.
Well, definitely, Todd. We will try to catch up with you this winter. I'm sure there'll be lots of things going on downtown around the holidays and other stuff we can chat about.
Thank you so much.
M&N's Brent Palm and Hennepin Theater Trust CEO, Todd Dusing. Time for a quick break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel. From the Honeycrisp to the Zestar, the University of Minnesota has created 28 delicious apples, and now the 29th variety is beginning to be planted, the Kudos apple. M&N's Ashley Walker talked to a university apple breeder for all the details.
I'm speaking with the University of Minnesota's apple breeder, David Bedford. I didn't know apple breeders were a thing, but it makes sense when we're talking about the very new apple that they've come out with, the Kudos. So tell me a little bit about the newest apple that fell from the tree.
Yes. Well, as you may have seen in the press release, it's our most recent release. In fact, it's number 29 in our breeding history. I don't know if you know anything about our history, but we're actually in our, depending how you touch that, we would say the 115th year since we started. And our purpose has all been about developing varieties that will live in this climate. There's a whole story behind that, which I can get into at some point with you, but how we got started. But basically, it comes down to what can grow in our, survive our Minnesota winters. And so started back in 1907 with a few, and there was Harrelson back in the beginning. That was quite, quite the breakthrough in its time. And we fast forward up through about 1991, where we came up with Honeycrisp, which really changed the landscape of apple consumers and growers and, breeders too. Just offered that whole new texture that no apple had like it before, what we would call explosively crisp. And once we recognized that that was very unique, and in fact the public loved it, we were committed to incorporating that texture into new varieties with new flavors and other advantages and so forth. So the cross was made actually 22 years ago that we actually did the hybridization for this new one, Kudos. And we crossed Honeycrisp, which, again, as I said, we were fascinated with that crisp, juicy texture. We crossed that with another U of M variety known as Zestar. And Zestar is known for its real, almost spicy flavor, very full, well-balanced, a little bit of sweet, a little bit of tart, and kind of a just rich flavor. And as with any parents, you hope that you'll get the offspring will get the best of each parent. And I think we did get some pretty good things from each of those parents in Kudos. And so it had that crisp, juicy texture of a Honeycrisp. But then it has a more balanced flavor, I think, even than Honeycrisp. It gets a little of that from the Zestar. And in fact, when we get to full ripeness, and it's been on the tree for, the fullest amount of time, we'll even get a little fruity kind of tropical flavor from it. So I think that's the parts that kind of set it apart from things that are out there. It comes from good parentage, and we like to think we've, continued to pass those good traits on to this generation.
As an apple lover myself, I love the Honeycrisp, and I'm very proud to have come from the state that created it. I love the all-year-round ambrosia. That's my favorite. But I need to know when we can get a taste of Kudos.
Oh, hang up. When we introduce these things, it takes 22 years to get to the market where we're releasing the variety to nurseries who then produce trees for the commercial growers. And that's what's happening this year. The trees are going out to commercial growers. So there'll be probably a 3-year lag, I would say, before people can get the fruit, actually. So it's a little bit of bittersweet to say we've got a new variety, but you can't have it yet. But this is how the whole system works. So I would say about 3 years. And when that time does come, the best place to find these, the most likely place to find Kudos fruit, will be at the local orchards. By the time it gets enough fruit built up to go to grocery stores, that's kind of the final tier of development. So probably more like 5 years before grocery stores, but probably 3 years for local orchards. So that's the first place to check, is the local orchards.
Eminence Ashley Walker and U of M apple breeder David Bedford. Time for our last break. Stay tuned.
You, my friend, have connections in the government. Yes, you. USA.gov, the official source for government information on thousands of topics. And like any good connection, there's no telling where it can take you. Why, one day you're getting student loan information. Next thing you know, you need job hunting tips. Today's road construction info could have you searching for telecommuting ideas tomorrow. The more you use USA.gov, the more uses you'll find for it. Passport applications, for example. They've been known to lead to a sudden interest in travel advisories. Our new mobile apps will even update you on the go. So whether you have information to get or ideas to give your government, check out USA.gov. Who knows? Lottery results today could lead to retirement planning tomorrow. USA.gov. With the right connections, there's no telling where you can go.
Welcome back to Minnesota Matters. I'm Tasha Radel. Former University of Minnesota point guard Al Nolan of Minneapolis will be the new color commentator for the Golden Gopher men's basketball radio broadcasts. Nolan takes over for former teammate Spencer Tollickson, who stepped away from the role after 14 seasons. Nolan played for Minnesota from 2008 to 2011, scoring 595 career points. Nolan joins play-by-play announcer Mike Grimm, who will enter his 18th season as radio voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball. Mike, who is also the Minnesota News Network sports director, spoke to Al this week to talk about the new broadcast duo.
I'm so excited to be working alongside of you, you know, to learn from you, such an on-air talent like yourself. While I was a player, you were very involved with the team, so we had a great relationship then, and I just want to continue to build off that and looking forward to the good season.
Yeah, we had, I had Kevin Lynch for 2 years, my first 2 years here. The great Kevin Lynch was my partner, and then he moved on to NBA duties with the Wolves, which he's still doing some of that. And then Don Zierden, who was awesome for 1 year. He was at the time the coach of the Lynx. And it worked because the Lynx played in the summer. And then Flip got the Washington job and said he wanted Don to be his assistant again. He was with him with the Wolves and with the Pistons and all that.
I remember
so
that.
That's when Spencer came on board. And time flies. That was already 14 years ago. Spencer spent 14 years with us here on the network. And then, you know, some of his real-life work duties and family situation, in the sense that his kids are now getting old enough. He's like, he was going to step away and spend more time with family and commit to a little more time to his real work, which wasn't an option. They're like, you need to do this and travel some more and do this. And so that freed up a spot. And the irony is, of course, you and Spencer were teammates for a couple of years, right?
Spencer was my senior, man. Spencer taught me the ropes, man, coming in, coming in with during Tubby Smith era, the transition, and everybody was pretty fresh because I know Spencer, you know, played for Munson. I was recruited by Munson as well. But Spencer, Dan Coleman, and Lawrence McKenzie, those were my seniors coming in, man. And so I love Spence. Spence, big spice, you know, that's my man.
He is 50, as some of you guys, I think, still call him over the years. And have you had a chance to chat with Spence at all since this has all gone down?
Yeah, he reached out to me. He congratulated me. He was like, hey, congratulations, man. It's going to be, you know, great job. You're going to do really well. And then he, you know, offered to, you know, take me out to breakfast or lunch so we could catch up. And he could kind of show me the ropes and kind of give me the ins and outs. So so I was very, very appreciative of that. And I'm still going to hold Spencer to that breakfast or lunch.
Yeah, for sure. Make sure he pays, too. You get that out of him. I could never get a free meal. No, that's not true. He bought a few times. So that was good. And obviously everyone has their own style. Our broadcast will likely sound different than a Grimm Nolan broadcast is going to sound different than Grimm and Tollickson, and that's fine. That's good. We'll have our own unique personality as we move forward. That said, you know, Spence was good at it. So take him up on that breakfast and find out what things work for him and see if they work for you. And not everything he did is going to work for you. And everything you will do would have been good for him. And you'll find your voice and you'll find your identity.
Absolutely. I definitely plan to. I was really excited that he let me know. I was sad to see him go, though, because he's been such a staple for Gopher basketball for so long. You know, he was a color analyst when I was playing. So right as soon as he was done, you know, my freshman year, he took it upon himself to become the analyst. And, you know, he was great. And so he's really going to be missed. But I really appreciate him, and I really look forward to getting with him and chatting soon.
Yeah, and he'll be around. I know he's excited because now he'll be able to bring his – I know his son is a big basketball fan, his daughter as well, and his wife. And they'll be able to come and just sit back and eat popcorn. They don't have to worry about putting in any work now, right?
It'll be a little different now. He'll be able to relax and watch the game. I'm sure he'll have some flashbacks while he's sitting down.
Yeah, we might call him in for a halftime interview and get his thoughts too. Take us through what you have been up to now in terms of, I want to get to the foundation at some point here in the podcast, so let's put that on the back burner for a moment, but in terms of you and the game of basketball and staying in it, and now you're in a situation where you can impart you know, all this knowledge as a player and as an administrator and all of this, take us through your basketball. Obviously, we know about your playing days, and we'll get into some of those memories too, but your basketball, since your graduation here, I know you had some professional experience and some coaching experience. Yep. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I ended up playing overseas, Germany, Czech Republic, played in the NBA G League for a little bit, but kind of decided to retire a little early, was dealing with some nagging injuries. Upon coming back, I started working in the school system, and then, you know, I still wanted to get my fix in basketball, so I started my own training program. And so I was working with kids in various communities, Stillwater, Chanhassen, and Matamida, just working on the basic basketball skills and trying to, you know, pass along my knowledge of everything I knew. So it was very rewarding and gratifying to be able to pour into those young people. And so I've been doing that for about a decade, just going to various communities, doing different work, speaking to kids, and then also coaching. So I did a little bit of coaching. I started in middle school at Anthony Middle School, where I worked at with 7th, 8th grade, because I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to make that true commitment.
Yeah.
So middle school, you know, maybe 8 games in the season. So it was a nice little fix to see kind of how I felt about it. Then a couple years later, one of my former coaches, you know, called me up like, hey, man, I got an open assistant coaching job. I would love to have you aboard. You know, I was kind of like, I'm all right. I'm busy. I'm doing my training. I don't really want to commit to being a coach right now. I'm not ready. And so we sat down and doing some convincing. You know, he was able to get me aboard. And so I was an assistant basketball coach at Brooklyn Center High School for a year. And that was very rewarding. I loved it. And I told myself eventually, once I get a little older, I'll settle back down and get back into the game. But for now, I just continue to run camps and clinics and, you know, work with kids when they reach out for individual training.
That's new radio broadcaster Alan Nolan with Eminent Sports Director Mike Grimm. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Minnesota Matters. Be sure to join us again next week on this Eminent affiliate station, same time, same place. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Tasha Radolph.